And we are back with another episode of Talking is a Free Action. I'm your host, Owen, joined again today with our illustrious co-host, Marvin.
Who's that?
That's you!
Sounds fake.
That's 70% likely, but we are going to press on in the face of adversity.
All right, sounds good.
So,
what's going on, bud?
Oh man, what hasn't been going on? A lot of shakeup in the pop culture sphere. Not that we're like a pop culture podcast necessarily, but since we heavily advocate to draw your inspiration from pop culture when writing your own D&D stories, I feel like it's like close enough to on topic that we can touch on it a bit. Yeah, I mean, and then other than that, of course, we had a pretty fun session with Dustin in his game the other day, so that was pretty good. Had a chance to really kind of show off a little bit of the storm underneath the skin for my, like, you know, edgy Psy Warrior, so.
I think that was the edgiest thing I've ever heard you say.
I mean, surely I've said something worse, right?
I don't know about that one, Chief.
Look at him just brooding in the corner.
That was pretty aggressively edgy. Not gonna lie.
That was pretty sharp, Chet. Sharp enough to sink a destroyer class battleship.
Spoilers.
That show is well and old enough to be quoting that now.
Or is it?
I guess we'll never know. So, I guess speaking of Avatar, they released a live action, and I have people telling me it somehow doesn't suck.
I'm one of those people. It doesn't suck.
Okay, sell me on this show, because I've watched Avatar The Last Airbender, and it was magnificent, and I watched The Last Airbender, and I want to murder M. Night Shyamalan.
Alright.
Yeah. Make me like this. Thing.
Here's the thing. It's entirely unnecessary. That's not up for debate. We did not need this show. However, it's somewhere in the middle of the two. It is definitely better than whatever Shyamalan did. But it is definitely not as good as the original. And I don't think that's opinion. I think that is like factual, that it is not as good. But it had some good things going for it. There were some scenes that they added in that I think added a lot to some of the characters. Like spoilers for Avatar live action. Just for a minute. We get to see Luten's funeral, and that was a really, really good scene between Iroh, Zuko, and Ozai. We get to see some of the stuff that led Zhao to basically shitting on Zuko for the latter half of book one. We get to see the Air Nation, or the Air Temples, being invaded by the Fire Nation, which didn't play out how I wanted it to, but everything up until the part I didn't like was pretty cool. That being said, the first three episodes are rough. Like, almost didn't get through it.
I see.
After that, I think it picks up quite a bit in quality.
Like, once the, like, key players are established, basically?
Not even. Once you get through the one bad episode, only one episode I think is truly bad, and it's episode 3.
Mm-hmm. And how many episodes is the show?
Oh, it is 8 episodes in the first season.
Ocho, okay.
Yeah. I think episode 3 is the only really bad episode. The rest is passable at worst. I think it was episode 5. Whichever episode had the blue spirit, that was the best episode, hands down. It was not a question.
I mean, arguably, it's the best episode of season 1 of the actual show.
It is arguable. I think the storm is a strong contender.
See, I don't like the storm as much, I'm gonna be honest.
I don't like you as much anymore.
I don't know, like, I mean, The Storm is a good episode, and it's been a little while, but, like, I don't think it stands out as much to me in my mind versus like some of the highs of the Blue Spirit.
I think Blue Spirit is a really, really action focused episode, which is what you go to the show for. So that's super fair. I think
it's basically action from the minute that Katara and Sokka get put on the sideline.
Yeah, like it is very action forward, which is really good for a kid's action cartoon. But I think the Storm is probably the best character writing in season one, and that's what I like about the show.
It is very good character writing. I will concede that point. It probably better. But I do think that, like, the Blue Spirit as an episode for the original series is really cool, just because it's, like, it's the first time you kind of get that insight to Zuko, of, like, kind of... I think it, like, really drives home, like, how important it is to him. That, like, mm-hmm. he would go so far as to, like, put his own personal needs over that of, like, the nation. And I think it really kind of puts into focus that, like, his desire to capture Aang during that first season is more about a personal issue that he has with his father than it is about what, like, the Fire Nation wants. Like, he never cared about the Fire Nation in that capacity. At least not at that time.
Yeah, I think for sure it definitely does that. And it's definitely not anywhere close to a bad episode. I think, without question, those are the two best episodes of Book One. I just think the Storm edges out just a little bit. Because you see how similar Aang and Zuko are as people before we really find out just how similar they are. Because they're almost the same person as far as, like, character arcs go. It's just different methodology.
What do you mean by that?
So both of them have to grow up. That is both of their overarching story. And it doesn't seem that way for Zuko at first, but he has to learn how to be a man, if that makes sense, before he can do what he thinks his arc is, which is getting his honor. And Aang has to grow into the Avatar, quote-unquote, by learning. But, like, learning how to bend the elements isn't what's important. It's learning about the world, which Zuko does more overtly after Book One than Aang does. But both of them have to do the same thing.
I gotcha. No, I mean, that does make a lot of sense. And, like, obviously, I think that, like, the Storm does a really good job of, I think, again, showing that, like, Zuko does care in his own way, you know, mm-hmm. about, like, his men, even if he is really rough around the edges because he's, you know, an angsty teenager. He does actually have those, like, those positive qualities in mm-hmm. between, mm-hmm. like, the Blue Spirit and between the Storm. I think those are, like, some of the episodes where you begin to see that, like, Zuko has the capacity to do good things.
Yeah,
for and sure. that he's not just, like, a two-dimensional villain in the way that, like, Azula would later be in season two. Not that she's two-dimensional, but she's presented as such early on.
Yeah, she is presented as two-dimensional for a lot of Book Two, which I don't think is a mistake.
No, I think that's there to, like, contrast her from Zuko. Like,
yeah.
Like, specifically, it's designed that way. Like, whereas Zuko is, like, it's a very personal thing for Zuko, and so, like, he's very emotional and emotionally driven to, to, like, you know, complete his goal, right? Azula, like, almost couldn't care less. She's almost after the Avatar. Not even because she wants to capture the Avatar, but because it would get back at Zuko.
Yeah, it's just to make Zuko look bad. Live action kind of gives some more motivation to her before we find out how deep her character is. Which I don't like it. Because
you don't like the motivation? Or, like, you don't like that she was introduced so early?
The fact that she was introduced doesn't bother me anymore. Initially, I was like, I don't like this. But her motivation is just she wants to be recognized as the heir to the Fire Nation, which I don't think meshes with the Azula that we have in the animated series. Because that Azula, there's no question in her own mind that she is the favorite and she is going to be the next Fire Lord.
Yeah.
Even when Zuko comes back, that Azula is like, no, I'm the alpha here. This is my country.
I mean, even in the live like, action... first episode or whatever that they meet again in season two, right? It's like, in mm-hmm. my country, she says, in my country, it is customary to exchange a greeting.
Yeah, exactly. That Azula does not match with the live action one who's like really trying to get her father's approval.
Yeah. Like, honestly, like, that's the whole thing with Azula is, like, she craves approval from her parental figures. And she could never get that from her mother, you know, for reasons that, like, she understands intellectually, but, like, probably emotionally really is injured about. And
yeah, her father is cold and distant. But she always had it from Ozai.
Well, she had his approval, but not his affection.
Two different things. This Azula is not looking for affection. She's looking for approval. If she needs validation to be Azula, I don't think it's the same character, which can be said for quite a few characters. They're not quite the same, which is, I think, a symptom of being an adaptation. Not everything translates perfectly, and I don't think they tried to translate everything perfectly.
Do you think that's why Mike and Brian left the show?
It probably had something to do with it, because there's a lot of characters that are not the same person. Boomy, not Boomy. Boomy is the old man from the storm. The one who was bitter and angry at Aang, that's who Boomy is now.
But that's not Boomy. Boomy was never angry or bitter. He was just like super happy to see his friend again.
He was super happy to see Aang. He was trying to teach Aang what it means to be alive in the current time period. Because he saw straight up Aang had not changed. Aang didn't live through the last 100 years. So Boomy wanted Aang to know what that's like. This Boomy, no. He's just angry. He's angry and jaded and he blames Aang for everything. And I'm like, that's not Boomy. You can put his name on it. You can put him in Omashu. But that's not the same
person. Could even make him king of Omashu. But that's not the same person, yeah. That's like just, like, it's almost just like creating conflict for an episode that, like, didn't need conflict, if that makes sense.
I mean, they want to have conflict in every episode because it's only 8 episodes. I get that. And I get wanting to include as many aspects of the original as possible. I understand. Some characters got to change. Boomy doesn't quite fit in a more serious, quote-unquote, more grounded in realism show.
Yeah.
But, I think it is a disservice to that character in the long run to make him as jaded as he seems, and to make him not fun. He very mm-hmm. clearly, explicitly calls Aang out for goofing off. Which live action Aang doesn't goof off a single time. In the whole 8 episodes, he rides down the mail carts in Omashu one time after Boomy has already yelled at him.
Uh-huh.
And that's the only time he has fun.
Yeah. Which, like, I get that, like, the fun stuff is probably the stuff that has to get cut when you only have so much time, right? And again, you're going for, like, a less goofy, like, atmosphere, I guess.
Yes, but at the same time, I think fun is an intrinsic part of that character. It doesn't have to be as slapstick, but he should be having some amount of fun.
Yeah, I mean, I do agree with that. I think that, like, if Aang doesn't have, like, a big old grin on his face, like, it doesn't feel like Aang. Like, I think that's one of the reasons why, like, The Last Airbender's Aang doesn't feel like Aang, right? Because he's just so solemn, and, like, he doesn't emote in the entire movie.
Yeah, and new Aang definitely emotes. He's not, like, super unresponsive to emotional stimuli. It's just always serious, you know?
Yeah. Like, so, I guess, here's the thing, right? Like, I understand the idea that if someone knew Aang and was expecting them to step up, and then they didn't for a century, only for them to show back up out of nowhere, I can understand how a character could be written that would be bitter about that. However, one, I don't think it should be Boomy. And if you do make it Boomy, I think that part of his arc, because now we have to write a character arc for him, should be turning back into the Boomy that we know from the series, rather than staying the path of being this bitter old man.
Yeah, and they kind of shorthand that. Like, they skip over the character arc part and kind of just, Aang does a thing and it makes Boomy hopeful again, and they go right on the mail carts. But it doesn't feel earned, and it doesn't feel right. That being said, that's not in the one bad episode.
Oh, see, like, here I am thinking, like, this is definitely episode 3, isn't it?
No, this is episode 4.
Oh, Jesus.
This episode was actually passable.
Okay. Okay. Alright.
Episode 3 combines the Northern Air Temple story with the Mechanist and the air balloons, with Jet and the Freedom Fighters, and the Cave of Two Lovers, which is not a book one episode, but this is where they put it.
I mean, wait. Wasn't the... Okay. That's a lot of stories to combine with, like, three very different, like, points of the episode to combine.
It was an episode. All of the actors did the best they could with what they were given. I think there was an okay job of finding a way to combine those stories, but I don't think it was very well done.
See, like, I could imagine a storyline between the Mechanist and Jet and the Freedom Fighters, because, like, that makes a lot of sense. You have the Mechanist who's working for the Fire Nation, you have the Freedom Fighters who are against the Fire Nation. Bam, that's conflict, right? And you could put the gang in between them, you could put Sokka on the Mechanist side because he was already against Jet. Like, that makes a lot of natural sense. It's when you start to include the, like, Cave of Two Lovers storyline that, like, you start to lose me, because I can't conceptualize how you might tie that together in a clean way.
I made a mistake. Cave of Two Lovers is in the next episode, the one with the bad Boomy.
Okay, that makes a little bit more sense, but yeah, okay. So, like, I can imagine a scenario where you're writing a story for Jet and the Freedom Fighters plus the Mechanist. It just, that's a lot to cut in.
The issue, I think, was when they had Zuko also in Omashu, trying to find Aang in Omashu undercover, and the only part I liked about that was that Iroh got arrested helping Zuko get out of Omashu. Because, like, I think Jet's plan to blow up the Earth King, which is, spoilers, what he does with the blasting jelly, tries to blow up the Earth King using the Mechanist, who he believes is a Fire Nation spy. I will not tell you whether or not that is true, but Jet definitely believes it.
Right.
Puts blasting jelly in his briefcase that he's going to talk to the Earth King with, and is going to have Longshot shoot a fire arrow at it, blow up the Earth King, and the Mechanist kid. Right?
Uh-huh.
Seems less impactful to just blow up a king than kill a whole bunch of civilians. As far as, like, he doesn't really feel like a real terrorist now. He just hates the king, and I hate the king now too, so I think he's justified.
You're, like, not even that mad about it.
No. But then, like, they stop the assassination attempt, Jet escapes, and Zuko escapes, and Iroh gets arrested. I'm like, why did Zuko need to be here? Like, what was his purpose in this episode? Because he didn't do anything. Except light the Cabbage Man's cabbages on fire.
Oh, man, it wasn't even... Aww. Oh, well.
Which, that was the highlight of the episode. They got the original Cabbage Guy to come back and play him in live action. 10 out of 10.
I mean, that is amazing. All right. So overall, it sounds like there are some issues, but, like, overall, you were, like, fairly happy to have watched it.
Starting with episode 4, I don't dislike it, and I think episode 6 was really good. Episode 6 was really good, and episode 7 was pretty good. 7 and 8 are just the North Pole.
Yeah.
8 was decent, but I think missed some of the themes that they themselves were trying to set up. Because, like, when you're going to change stuff and then you don't even, you know,
follow through
your own moral of the story, I think it's an issue, right? But overall, I liked the back half more than I thought I would, and some parts more than the original.
Okay. All right. So how many cabbages is the show then?
3 out of 5 cabbages.
All right, you heard it here first. 3 out of 5 cabbages. Is that a recommendation?
If you're a fan, I suggest watching it. If you're not already a fan of Avatar, I don't think you're gonna like it. Because I think the first 3 episodes are genuinely bad. Well, all right. Episode 3 is genuinely bad. The first 2 are kind of boring.
Yeah, although the first episode of Avatar isn't, like, the best. The first 2 episodes of Avatar, like, season 1 are not the best either, but...
Yeah, but, you know, I think there's a big difference between not the best and trying to appeal to a mass audience and still being boring.
Yeah, yeah. That's a tough one to swallow, for sure.
But yeah, I didn't hate it.
Nice. So, we're gonna use that. So, speaking of things that I do hate, Rooster Teeth is closing down. Or has closed, I guess, as of the recording of this.
As of the recording, they are not closed yet. They're still operational for 1 month.
All right. Well, there you have it. We have 1 month to enjoy Rooster Teeth properties. So I guess for those who haven't heard, Rooster Teeth, creators of Red vs. Blue, Ruby, Death Battle, etc. Yeah. You know, etc. For the last, you know, 2 decades of internet culture, are going to be shutting down. We'll see what happens with the stuff that they have left over, you know, as far as production and such. But, yeah, you know, I was initially kind of not sure if we should talk about it on the show, but given that we kind of advocate to talk about, you know, to, like, take pop culture and use that as inspiration in your own stories, I feel like we'd be a little bit remiss to not mention it, at least in passing.
Yeah, and I actually really care about this one. Like, as bad as some of it is, I really love Ruby, like, a lot. And I was really excited to see where Volume 10 was going to go, and it doesn't look like we're going to get that. So this one hurts. Also because, like, it is entirely because of a corporation misunderstanding their demographics and how to release these specific properties that is causing Rooster Teeth to shut down. Mm-hmm. Because it's not Rooster Teeth's fault. They are not the ones who decide how to release any of their things anymore.
They just make it.
Yeah, they just make it. They're essentially a 3D animation studio and podcast conglomerate owned by Warner Brothers Discovery. And I think taking a YouTube-based 3D animation series and taking it off YouTube was why Ruby died. Because Ruby was the last thing making Rooster Teeth money at all.
Right.
Even Red vs. Blue was not making them money anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, Ruby was keeping them afloat, and they took it off YouTube.
So they there goes the ad on YouTube. Bucks.
They put it only on Crunchyroll, which does not give them a decent amount of money. Crunchyroll notoriously pays out very badly to creators.
Yeah.
And Rooster Teeth's proprietary website, program, whatever it is, which I don't think I know anybody who has ever had it. And I don't know. I think taking Ruby off YouTube was a mistake.
Yeah. I'm gonna be honest, like, so I'm not, like, a big Ruby fan. In fact, the only reason I know anything about Ruby at all is because of H-Bomber Guy's incredibly long video about his nitpicks with Ruby throughout the series, which I'm sure you've seen it, but if you haven't seen it, even if you don't like Ruby, I do recommend the video. It's quite enjoyable.
Oh, yeah, H-Bomber Guy is great.
Yeah, so that's all I know about Ruby, right? But I am a pretty big, like, fan of Death Battle in that, like, I don't take it very seriously, and I find the, you know, I kind of find it as a fun way to interface with fandoms that I'm not super familiar with, in that respect. And while I wouldn't say that, like, I'm a big fan of Ruby, I am a big fan of, like, what Monty Ohm used to do, prior to him passing away. The Dead Fantasy videos I cite as, like, a pretty big inspiration for, like, how I imagine, like, big battles, like, happening, like, big one-on-one fights happening, right? Because I really loved his choreography, and so, like, when it comes to, like, opportunities to describe, you know, cool fight scenes in Dungeons & Dragons, see, we're bringing it back to the topic, you know, I do find that, like, some of the way that he would, you know, kind of maneuver the models in order to, you know, create this, you know, dynamically moving story, right, in this dynamically moving, like, fighting arena, I do find that inspirational, you know, so, it sucks. It really does. I mean, it sucked when he passed, and now it feels like kind of the last vestiges of his legacy are now going to be a corporate tax write-off, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. I think Monty was one of the biggest losses that we have experienced in our lifetimes. Honestly,
that's not even counting the fact that Ikuri Toriyama literally just passed away.
Yeah. We're talking about this thing that happened years ago, in the face of Toriyama passing 2 weeks ago. And we're talking about how Monty Ohm is one of the biggest losses, and I don't feel bad about it. We'll get to Toriyama, but, like...
Yeah, which, by the way, Toriyama passed 2 weeks ago. We only just found out about it 5 days ago.
Yeah. And I actually really like that. It gave his family time to mourn without the whole world involved.
We'll get to Toriyama. That's really important.
Yeah. But Monty's fight choreography, the way he talked about it, he never talked about it like it was fighting. It was always like it was dancing. And I think that's actually really cool. It's a perspective that I think a lot more people should utilize, because the reason his fights look so good.
Yeah. They're well choreographed, and more importantly, they, like, they actually do storytelling, which I think is important, right? Because I think that's something that, like, gets missed sometimes when you have characters fighting, is, like, the importance of, like, the fight actually telling a story itself, not just kind of, like, being the result of the story, if that makes sense.
It definitely makes sense to me, honestly, which I think, bringing it back to Toriyama, I think he also did a very good job of that, at the very least in Dragon Ball. Not as much in Z, but still Z. I think when you have a show about fighting, a lot of the story should be in the fighting. And both of those creators did a fantastic job of doing that. And combat heavy campaigns can have a lot of story in fights.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think it's one of those things where it's like, if you're going to do a combat-heavy campaign, like, it can be really challenging at times, because it kind of necessitates setting up scenarios where, like, the fights end and the enemy doesn't die. and the enemy doesn't die, right? Because, like, you don't always want to set up people just for your players to murder, because, like, it's difficult to create an ongoing story beat that way. Whereas, like, if you can come up with scenarios where the character manages to live through the fight one way or another, I think that can be really interesting, because, you know, you get ongoing, you know, ongoing conflicts with your players, and that's a cool thing, you know?
Oh, yeah. Even outside of combat-heavy campaigns, I really like when some bad guys make it through difficult fights. Because, like, if your guys can't kill them, sometimes that means they're just that badass.
Yeah, 100%. Or sometimes it just means it, sometimes it's not even a huge power discrepancy, right? Like, I remember the like big gate fight that I had in my last campaign that I ran, where Nick spent like the first four rounds trapped under a very large gate and like failing his strength checks to push it off of him. That fight ended with half of the assassins escaping, right? And it wasn't that they couldn't kill the assassins, it's that the assassins had some tools to get away, and the players realized that if they stopped them from escaping, that it would probably cause more damage to them. Like, yeah, they could take the assassins out, but it would result in a player death, like almost assuredly. So they opted to allow them to escape. You can't always engineer that scenario from happening, mind you. It just so happened that like he was like, yeah, he's gonna cast a fly spell and like fly off, and he was standing right over somebody who was making death saving throws. It's like, yeah, if you counterspell this, like, he was quickening a fly. It's like, if you counterspell this, he's going to use his action to take these last two death saves, because if he can't escape, he just has to, finish off who he can. But what it meant is that later, a couple sessions later, or a few sessions later, or whenever it was, one of the player characters got to bump into him, like, in a non-confrontational way. And it lets you kind of do these things that I think Avatar does really well, where they'll take characters who are like opposed to one another and put them in situations where they have no need to fight. The situations where like, Iroh and Aang are talking on their way to, go fight Azula in Ba Sing Se, or when Iroh and Toph are talking when they don't even know each other yet, right? Like, those are really interesting scenarios. Or again, even like Zuko and Aang in the Blue Spirit, you have opportunity for like those characters who are normally in conflict to have dialogue with one another, and it can be really enlightening for both people involved. So it's a really good thing to try and shoot for. And like most recently in my current campaign, we had Dustin's player character Dex, with the party squared off against his like rival character in his backstory, Bradley. And Bradley trounced them. It wasn't like particularly close. And like for context, listeners, these are like people who are using like Magitek guns, basically, that the two characters have like co-invented. And basically, I got some really nice dialogue in, right? I think at one point Dex is like, this is my technology, and Bradley gets a shoot back. It's like, you may have invented it, but I perfected it. It's like, ah. Bathe in it. So going in, he's they're like trying to blow up the factory that's producing the weaponry, right? So Bradley's not thrilled about this. It's his factory. So the fight starts, and like the session before, I think Dex had like the highest grade like spell shell he'd ever seen was like third, like level two, I think. And the first thing that Bradley does is roll up with a cone of cold.
Oof.
Actually, no, I'm lying. It was a chain lightning. It was a level 6 spell. Followed by a cone of cold. Followed by another chain lightning. So the player characters were like very outmatched. And even though it was a fight, and luckily Dex made a bunch of his saves, so they got to have a cool back and forth as they went shooting one another, which was kind of cool. It felt very like Vash v. Knives, right? End of Trigun.
Classic.
Which is why I was trying to kind of go for a little bit. As these two people throw these haymakers at one another. And so as the players are trying to escape, they like sabotage the machine, and they try and get away while it's going critical. They catch a chain lightning, and it hits everybody, and it downs the entire party. And like, this is a case where the bad guy doesn't really want to kill the players. In fact, he still considers Dex his friend.
Somebody has to.
So it's cool, because what it means is that later down the line, when they encounter this guy again, number one, they're gonna put respect on the fucking name, right? Because if he shows up, they know what kind of problem he is, and with more time to develop these weapons, he's gonna be even more problematic, right? But it allows me to utilize him later as a character. Whereas if he just dies in that fight, like, it's kind of a waste, not only for his backstory, but just as a like cool character concept. So I think it definitely like warrants considering that like even if the player characters lose a fight, it doesn't necessarily mean that they all have to die. In this case, they were just arrested, thrown in jail for 24 hours and then told to leave and never come back. Because like sometimes it's not about imprisoning them forever. Sometimes it's just about sending a message.
And you know what? Sending a message is sometimes all you need.
Yeah. So, I know we did mention it briefly, but of course, RIP to Akira Toriyama, creator of Dragon Ball, Dr. Slump. That was a very unexpected passing, and it occurred to me as I like heard the news that like presumably we'll both like live fairly long, I'm hoping, which means that like
Ideally.
a lot of the people that like whose media that we ended up consuming a lot as kids are gonna like continue to pass away, and that's something that we're gonna have to deal with, I guess, as things go on.
I would rather not deal with it, but yeah, we're kind of gonna have to.
In some capacity. I will say at least Toriyama took the steps to ensure that like somebody can carry on Dragon Ball's legacy, right? And Toyotaro, his apprentice.
Yeah, Toyotaro definitely is one of the guys.
I don't envy his position, that's for sure.
No. If I was Toyotaro, I would be very uncomfortable right now.
Like it's weird because like in his case, right, it's like a dream come true, right? You grow up writing Dragon Ball fan fiction, only to like finally meet the creator of Dragon Ball and have him say, "Yeah, no, I want you to like carry this on, now that I don't want to devote all my time to it anymore." Like that huge responsibility to be like, given the keys to your dad's car and now like dad's passed away and now you've inherited it.
Suffer through it, kid.
So whereas before you would drive the car and like kind of get to know the car, right? But now you drive the car and you're terrified you're going to wreck the car. What if you
I'm terrified right now.
so yeah, I don't envy his position, but I am happy that like he is in place. Whereas like when Miura passed away, the creator of Berserk, he had people who was helping him with the manga, but like he didn't have like a proper apprentice to like carry on.
Yeah.
So the assistants that he had are certainly going, doing their best to continue Berserk, but like to what extent they know the story beats that, he was intending, it's not exactly clear.
They can only do so much.
Yeah. So, and I know a lot of like Hunter x Hunter fans are like super worried that that might happen, right? With Togashi.
I do not blame them. If I was them, I would be very afraid right now.
Yeah. So yeah, just be careful around your loved ones. You never know when you might lose them. I wish Toriyama's family, grace during this difficult time for sure. And the millions of Dragon Ball fans around the world who are kind of mourning that passing together. So, I guess this is our tribute to Toriyama. Moving on from kind of some less than enjoyable topics, admittedly. I did want to chat a little bit about a pretty cool D&D experience I had with Dustin's game not terribly long ago.
I don't believe you. Dustin's not fun.
That's not true, actually. He's
I
actually
know it's not true. He's very fun. That's not the point.
He is very fun, and he's improved a lot as a DM, right, over the last like couple years that we've been playing, which is weird for me to think that it's been over a year.
A couple years.
Yeah, I feel like it just like we just started, but yeah, he's gotten a lot better, for sure.
That's good. I like to hear that. Tell me more.
Right. Yeah, so I guess to kind of set the scene. I'm playing Nathaniel. He is a revenant, Psi warrior, and his like whole shtick is that he's a mage hunter who's been killed multiple times before, and some force keeps bringing him back to life.
Okay.
His whole motivation is that like basically his stepsister was like indoctrinated into a cult, and he has spent every waking moment in pursuit of eradicating mages. to A, prevent that from ever happening to somebody else, and B, in order to hone his skill so he can bring his sister back.
Okay.
So the first time this happened, when he was still actually alive, his stepsister killed him. He came back.
He got better.
He did not get better. He was undead at that time. But he trained in the blade. While his sister was off learning the magical arts of whatever cult she joined, he was honing his skills on how to slay mages.
And I would too.
Developed a name for himself as a fairly good at it. And so he dies at some point later, and his memory is kind of blocked out of that time, basically. Mm-hmm. So, and then I get brought back at the start of this campaign by this lich, or like disembodied lich, who basically needs us to do some favors for her. That's like the setup to this campaign, is that we're all like people who were brought back by her spell, heroes that were brought back by her spell, and she needs us to go do stuff for her.
Seems legit.
So, as it turns out, like, our backstories have been tied rather expertly together to a few different points for us. And so we're currently in the process of trying to acquire some items to help, like, restore this lich to, like, humanity, because she doesn't want to be a lich.
Okay. That's unusual.
Yeah. Like, the story beat is basically that, like, she was turned into a lich against her will. And her, like, body is being utilized as, like, a soldier, as, like, a lich soldier by Fae. But her soul is disembodied and still, like, would like to not be undead anymore.
Okay.
So, kind of an interesting, it's an interesting concept for sure on that front.
I don't hate it.
So, basically, we're rolling up on this, in the Moonshae Isles, there's this, like, pirate community, forgive me, Dustin. I try with the names. I just don't know the Forgotten Realms like that. But there's this fellow who's in charge of this pirate community. And we roll up and we get kind of brought in with like the resistance. And the flower that we need is being like, you know, held in this castle, in this like special garden that this like new pirate king is in. And this pirate king like deposed the old one a few years back. So we roll up, and during the course of this you know, situation, we find that the old pirate king's still alive and was being like tortured by mind flayers or whatever. So we busted him out, because the mind flayers are tied to one of the other player characters' backstories. So we bust him out, and he's like, oh yeah, like, you tried to kill this guy and you killed his daughter like x number of years ago, Nathaniel, like, do you not remember this? So, like, on one hand, like, wow, I'm a chaotic good character, and I was told that I murdered a young child. That should be an objectively, oh, maybe not young, but a child, right? Teenager, maybe.
Yeah.
Like, I should be conflicted. Not Nathaniel. Then I will finish the job.
Oh, no.
Then I apologize for not finishing the job the first time.
I don't like that.
So, like, normally my character is, like, fairly good, but, like, this is the first time that any of the other player characters have had an opportunity to, like, experience Nathaniel when I'm going full on, like, need to kill all the wizards.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, everybody else in the party does cast spells, but they're not wizards.
Right.
And I think that's an important distinction.
Nathaniel cares about wizards.
Yeah. Sorcerers, that's one thing, right? You can't help that necessarily. Wizards go out of their way to pursue this. Right? It's different. It's real different.
I mean,
wizarding is a choice.
Factually, you're not wrong.
So
I get it. Yeah. But also, I don't like this.
Yeah. So, what ends up happening is we end up rolling up on this throne room. There's, like, we use, like, the resistance to help create a distraction. There's a bunch of fights between point A and point B. But the short version is we roll up on this throne room. And, on Christmas, Dustin gifted us some, character art. There's a point to the story. It's not just a brag. He gifted us a wanted poster of our party. right? So he sent each of us a wanted poster of our characters. And I was like, oh, that's really cool. But in the package, there was a card that basically was auto success, destroy after use. So whatever that is, I can tear up the card and it's going to succeed.
Spicy.
Yeah, yeah, it's a really cool gift. It's a cool gift idea, right? It's like, yeah, you just get an auto success. You get a destiny point just for you.
I like this.
So we roll up, and this throne room is supposed to be, like, heavily trapped, and, like, we know that there's, like, this championship boxer that, like, is under his employ, so we're expecting that we're going to have to fight that, probably. Mm-hmm. And this wizard's just, like, standing on this little platform, right? And he starts monologuing, and he gets through, like, the first, like, sentence and a half, and I looked at Dustin, and it's like, I'm going to use my slingshot hook, which is basically a hook shot, and I want to yank him off of that and pull him over here. Can I do that? He's like, you'll have to roll it with disadvantage. He's like, I'm going to use my card. I'm going to fucking scorpion this guy over here.
Problematic, but okay.
Not what he thought the fight was going to happen. That's not how he wanted the fight to go. So the fight began with us basically blitzing this guy and doing a crap ton of damage up front as he gets yoinked 95 feet across the room. to fight this guy. And the fight ensues, the boxer comes out, as I basically just, like, single-mindedly, like, chase this guy down as he starts teleporting away.
Sounds beautiful.
No, it was a really cool sequence. It was a lot of fun. And, like, I almost went down. Like, there was a point where, like, I basically, like, ate a lightning bolt to the face. And if I hadn't been able to use my reaction to reduce the damage by, I think it was, like, 8 or something, I would have just gone down.
Oof. Alright.
So,
it's like, that kind of fight.
It was that kind of fight. In fact, I think two of us were down. It's a 4-player party, and two of us were down at the end of the fight.
Jeez.
So, which is good, because, like, one of, like, the things we had talked to Dustin about previously was, like, challenging us a little bit more. Because, like, a lot of earlier fights had been kind of, not cakewalks, that's not, like, true, but they hadn't really, like, pushed our capabilities. We were never really, like, in danger of going down, necessarily. Sure. So it was nice to see this fight really kind of push our limitations, not just our resources, but, like, also, like, legitimately challenge the characters a little bit more.
Okay.
So I take this guy down. And I told Dustin, like, a week ago, it's like, if I get the minute, I'm going to leap on top of this guy and I'm going to axe him to his face to death. Like, that's what I'm going to do with this guy. I'm not going to stop until he is mincemeat.
Until he is no longer among the living.
And not even that. It's not just unaliving him. I don't want it to be open casket.
That is an aggressive sentence.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you all know it, right? It's like, you look at it, it's like, yeah, that ain't going to be open casket. So, this guy goes down to zero, and Dustin basically DMs me frantically. It's like, please let me monologue for a minute. I have story I need to tell you.
That's great. Just, I need this, bud. Come on.
He's like, please don't do anything yet. Just give me a moment. Like, I need to get this information out to you. It's important. And I was like, fine, I'll play ball. Just gonna, yes, mom.
Whatever, dick.
So we go through initiative, and it gets to his turn. He gets to monologue a little bit. He goes on that, like, you know, I accepted the job from Faye, so I was working for Faye at some point. You know, and that, like, wouldn't you do anything to, you know, he's like, wouldn't you do anything to protect your loved ones or whatever? It's like, yeah, in fact, actually, give me 30 seconds. I'm going to pull up, because I actually wrote down what I said.
Oh, Lord.
Because the thing is, like, while he was monologuing, I was trying to, like, write dialogue for what I was going to say next.
Okay.
Which, like, when you're playing online, it is something that comes up every once in a while, where it's like, if you want to, like, try and do something. So anyway, basically I cut him off and told him to shut his damn mouth. Monsters like you took everything from me. So while I still draw breath, I will take what little I can from you.
Jeez.
That's so, a sentence. So at that point, I throw my sword aside, I take out my hand axe, and I just keep axing. and keep axing and just axe the crap out of him until I'm tired, basically. And then I roll over on my back, just like, you know, tired and exhausted, like in this, you know, frenzied rage. So part of that was like, you know, yay backstory, right? But also, I feel like the other players hadn't really like understood or appreciated the depth of the hatred that I feel towards these people. Because I do a pretty good job of keeping it just underneath the surface. So this was the first like time the mask kind of slipped a bit. And like, even one of our druids.
Boy, did it slip.
Boy, did it slip. Not even slip. I actively cast it aside.
Oh.
It's like when you find out that your uncle's actually super racist, right?
Which one? I mean, what?
So like, even the druid who's like normally pretty happy-go-lucky and like loves animals and stuff is like, should we be worried about him? Like, is Nate all right?
No, he is not.
Very clearly not, right? Because like, to me, it's just like, when I'm trying to like develop that scene, like conceptually, right? It's not just the idea of like overkilling this guy, because normally I just dispatch people pretty quickly and move on to the next target, right? But no, this is a personal grudge, even though I don't even really know this guy all that well, right? It doesn't matter. It's his actions, right? And like, clearly there's a level of dehumanizing with the way that Nate refers to these characters. So, and like,
kind they're not people, they're wizards.
They're monsters.
Same thing.
So, so I was pretty happy about that scene. I was happy that that Dustin allowed me to do that. So, you know, I think the reason I wanted to bring that up was not just to talk about the scene, but more so to talk about like the importance of like communicating with your DM, right? Because like, he knows that the story that I want to tell is I want to turn Nate into someone who can let this go, right?
Yeah.
Like, at the end of the day, the story that I want to tell is not the story of Nate getting his sister back, but of him accepting that, like, he can just live his life, and, like, sometimes bad things happen, and you can just move on from them, right? So, with this scene coming up like this and being able to execute on it, I'm hoping that it's going to set a good, like, baseline of where I am right now. Because even though Nate is, like, fairly well-adjusted in most scenarios, this is, like, the first time I think the other players have had an opportunity to really kind of, like, see exactly how broken he is. So I'm hoping that this will start to be kind of an opportunity to help kind of move that conversation towards the idea of, like, stopping and appreciating what you do still have. And, like, letting go. And, like, understanding that, like, even if my sister is still alive, which I don't know that she is, if she doesn't want to come back, like, what am I going to do? Like, cut her arms and legs off and drag her back home? Like,
I mean, maybe.
Basically, this is just reverse Naruto, only at the end, instead of, you know, Naruto not giving up on Sasuke, he accepts that Sasuke just wants to go be himself and lets it go and just appreciates that he has other friends.
I mean, and also, in this situation, Sasuke is not the worst.
I mean, my stepsister is kind of the worst, though. Like, left her daughter behind.
Okay, but, like, that's being, like, a bad person, not trying to kill everyone you know, you know?
I mean, if she's working for Thay, which I suspect she is.
Alright, maybe she needs to be put down like Sasuke needed to be put down. I mean, what?
Like Iroh was talking about Azula.
She needs to be taken to, I mean, what?
I know what you're thinking, Uncle, that I should get along with my sister. No, she's crazy. She needs to go down. The most out-of-pocket shit, Iroh says sometimes.
Okay, but like, he wasn't wrong.
Not even a little bit. She was crazy, and she did need to go down.
And you know what? She went down. I mean, what?
All the way down.
What do you mean by that?
I don't know. Let your hate consume you, I guess.
Ooh, that's a good message.
I mean, that's what Nate did. He embraced the dark side. I mean, he's not a Jedi.
Are any of us really Jedi? Honestly?
No one is. But it's a running joke in the campaign that, like, the Psi Warrior is basically Jedi, but I keep being very insistent that I am not a Jedi.
I mean, as you should. They don't need to know you're not a you're a Jedi. I mean, what?
No, I mean, it's obvious I'm not a Jedi. I'm a Sith.
What do you mean by that?
And with that, I think we'll go ahead and wrap up today's episode.
All right. Thanks for coming, everybody.
Yeah, genuinely appreciate it. As always, you can catch our new episodes on Spotify and your other major podcast players. I think by the time this episode goes up that we will also be on YouTube, question mark. So if that's the case, check us out. You can catch us on our social medias at TIAFA Podcast. You can catch me at Vlad Viver. Marvin is at Taiyugetsu. I don't really utilize X anymore. It's better for my mental health. But Instagram we're still using, of course. And you can catch us on YouTube as well. I think we have the same. Do we, what's our YouTube channel name?
Ooh, we are actually talking is a free action.
Bam. Check that out. So if you just type that into YouTube, just look past the JoJo reference videos, and we're there. All right. And then other than that, we're releasing episodes every 2 weeks here. So be sure to check back in a couple of weeks. So in the meantime,
Have a good one, everybody. װ================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================